Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Malay Satan Rajin. It's me, the rock man, or he. I shall rely, he lie, he the law. I shall rely, and then Muhammad, I'm Rasulullah. Rome to bear witness, and we testify there is no God but one God. Proper name is Allah. He is the creator of this creation, and he ruled this creation by himself. He had no partners. He had no one to help him in the rule of this creation. He have created this creation so we can be tested. We all here passing through, and how we pass through, we are being tested. And what we said, we're part of the test. Our weak link. If we think wrong, our body gonna follow our wrong thinking. And that's why Almighty God allows us thinking on him. It's the most powerful thinking that you can do. So we're here tonight on this Block Talk radio station. We had some young people last night come on and talk for about 30 minutes. So we invited them to come back tonight. They come, alhamdulillah. And the young people said that what we're saying, as long as we keep love in the talk. And I'm assuring them that that's all we want. It's a true love, because true love is to tell you the truth, even though you don't like it. Yeah, that's the true love. God, people talking about they're happy with Christ Jesus. As soon as Christ Jesus, he can come back here and say, look, don't do this, don't do that. They'll be through with Christ Jesus. Because people that have been molded and shaped that they can do whatever they want to without any consequence. And we are here to let them know that that's not true. Whatever we do in this world, we're accountable and what we receive because we're accountable in this world. So we thank Allah for blessing us to be Muslim, be here on this planet Earth to try to make a difference. And it is love talk. You know, we don't worry about the criticism coming from the criticizer because the criticizer always have made his mind up or her mind up that they're going to criticize and they're going to paint a picture that might not be there, but that's on them. We're not going to be guilty of that, inshallah. So we at 9 o'clock talk radio station, calling the people back to the oneness of God. So we have played music until someone came on. Now we see some people on, so we cut the music off. So anybody who would like to share in this great conversation, all you got to do is match one and come into the queue, and we will cut your mic on. We pray that Almighty God protect us and guide us in our journey on this Bach Talk radio station because Islam means peace. And that's what we're trying to bring about, peace in the world for the whole human family. Because the human family, once they realize that we are all family, that we are from the human family, then we're going to have peace. So, I've had my other coworkers come on, and I see him in the queue, and I don't see where he matched his hand lit yesterday, last Monday he had problems getting in. So I'm going to cut his mic on because he might be still having problems and see what he has to say. Brother Suja Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. So anybody got anything they want to say, they match one and come into the queue. We'll cut your mic on. If you got anything to say, this be the time to say what you got to say. And okay, we got one person want to say something. Okay, my wife, you want to say something.
And I'm guest tonight. With Allah's name, merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between, the creators of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. I bear witness that there's only one creator. We choose to call him Allah, meaning all good. And I bear witness to Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was the seal of the prophets. So we treat all the prophets the same, Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, Ibrahim, all of them, which is the same. And I just want to reiterate, I said it last night, but I don't know who were on last night that may not be on tonight or who were on tonight that were not on last night. The guest that we had was very appreciative of our program. And we asked him, or asked them what was it that we could do for him or say to him except for welcome, you know, to our show. And we were appreciative of him for coming on our show, letting us know, you know, that he was glad to have listened to our show. And the only thing he wanted to project was love. He said that we need more love, and then within, with that love that we would have and gain for each other, then we can easily unite and become like a united family or community, you know, and get things done properly in the way that he felt that God would be pleased with us. So speaking to the staff, I didn't ask him who introduced him to our show or who might have referred him to our show. But I did notice that he had been on many times, but he just had not said anything. And he bared witness to that. He said he's been on the show many times, but he hasn't said anything. But he just found it necessary to say something last night, which was a blessing, because we at least know that we have someone that's been listening to us, and he wanted to share with us what he had gotten from his listening, and he appreciated our input and what we had been saying. Find anything that was negative about it, all he wanted to say was, could we please love each other? Could we all just love each other, you know, by uniting, working together, and showing that love that we have for each other as human beings, individuals, you know, believers in the Creator. Okay, that's all I have to say. Everyone, please enjoy the program. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, look at your name. Omalaikum radin. Sure, the young man that we practice giving love to the people. So we thank him for coming on last. We have another brother that come on, brother Muhammad from Columbia, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum, brother Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Akbar and sister Akbar, and all of you who are in the queue. And we pray and thank Allah much that we know we all are here by His permission, because He loves us, His best creation. So even with our human understanding of what love is, we know that from the translation of Him saying that we are the best of His creation, when we translate it in our understanding, we know and He shows us how much He loves us. And He has given a criteria, like to say, "Udu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And He gives us this criteria so that we can share it amongst ourselves. And we have to understand, and I think to share with the guest you had on last night, I think, inshallah, Allah will show him His mercy and His guidance also regardless of what he believes. But we want to remind that in the English translation that we use here in the United States of America, if we bump it a little bit higher than what we use as a common translator, Allah says, do things to please Him, and then He will make us pleasing to each other. So, using the language of the guest last night, we can say the key is to love Allah, love the Creator, love what brought you here, and then He said He will make us love each other the way He has already said to us in the English translation. That Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, love for your brother and your sister what you love for yourself. So he's right on point. But we want to make sure that we carry it back to where it came from, and that's to Allah. So, and we know that in our way of life, that when given a greeting of love, we're supposed to come back and try to get one better, or at least equal. So we pray that we will understand that is why we're saying that if we learn to love the Creator who has given us this love to share between each other, and then that way we will grow. And like you said, the brother said, we will become one in the creation that Allah also loves. And He loves us so much that He put us in charge of it. If we use it to help love Him more, continue to reciprocate this love for Allah and His creation. As we know that the book that we love so much, because it is the final opportunity of knowing and how to execute love in our human reality. So we want to thank Allah very much for giving us this translation in whatever language you speak is a united form of loving Him so that He may bless us to love each other. Also, we are supposed to love the hereafter. more than we love today and more than what we loved yesterday. But as you see, when you let yourself cut off the focus of loving Allah first, make him first, all the praises, all the love belongs to Allah, because he's the one who's creator of it. And if we want unconditionally love, only Allah can give that. A dog, your wife, your husband, your kids, those are all different degrees of love that we are to grow and try to apply in our human reality. But the creator of love is where you get it all from. So until we love the creator, we will not be able to reach that level of love to where we can become one against the evil of the one of hatefulness and the people that are under that influence of hate and those people who are under that influence of envy, jealousy. Here you have an influence on us that we won't be able to use to defend ourselves, because we be seeking for this love, this artificial love that should go only to Allah. Example, because that is one of the topics that we're dealing with today, how the human being concept of love given to them by the shaitan and people who are under that scheme or that under that influence has got men loving men, has got women loving women, have got people loving dogs on all levels of expression. We know they have bestiality. We have oral sex. They have all kind of crazy things in the name of love. So love is not the key unless it is tied to the creator of love. And we have to understand that he said the only way that you will love the way that I love you to each other is if you bow down and hear and obey the instructions of how to have love, peace, and understanding by worshiping him and him alone. So we love the past. We love the day. But are we showing any love for tomorrow? Then ask ourselves, with all this love in the world, why does the human being have such a hard time building this model example of love on all levels of imagination in this world, as Allah has asked us to do? A model civilization, a model intellect, a model emotion, according to the Quran. We can't use the other books only as a reference because they have been contaminated. But if you need them, get the love out of them that leads you to the love of the creator of them. And then it will bring you to the Quran. And many of us know, especially those of us who are already striving and falling so much in love with the word of Allah that's in the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad, who this love in the Quran that Allah shares with us will help us be model human beings and how to love one another in a loving, positive way. Because again, we have to look at the world. I love to kill. I love to rob. I love dope. I love homosexuality. I love it. So do not, as the people before us did, let the concept of love come in and forget all about the creator of love. And that's how you get it. So we have to remember that we're supposed to love tomorrow what it brings, no matter what we show love today. And the love in the past, as you can see, has been contaminated. It has led the man, the human being, to many corruption things because it's the love of hate. Satan has given the human family is a direction that we have accepted by Allah's permission to test us. Allah tells us all the time in the Quran, who do you love the more, the people? Or do you love me? If he said, if you love the people more than you love me and what I have given you, then deal with it. until you've had enough and you want the love of peace, justice, freedom, away, the love, how to get away from racism, how to love to get away from hate and not hate the love. They even try to accuse us in the logic that they use, singing that old crazy song, it's a thin line between love and hate. There ain't no thin line when you love the creator of love. It's straight and will keep you straight as long as you keep your love in its proper context. So we pray a lot of this message of concern will bring more people who have love in their heart and are searching for true love. Them know like we have learned. Until you learn to love one God in your life and one love for the example of the human being who has grown from Adam to now to us is the best model example on how to continue to put your love in the love of God. Because there's no greater love the way that he loves us. No greater love. Nothing in creation shows more love for the human being than Almighty God Allah. So this is how we are to strive for tomorrow. It's all right to love yesterday. Yeah, love yesterday was good. But it's not as good as it is today. So when we start spending more time in loving what tomorrow brings, the Jannah, paradise, heaven, food, shelter, and clothing, because we are loving one God, and in return he has given us the permission to love one another and work together for that love to continue to come and flow to us in our reality as human beings. But as long as we let hate or envy, jealousy penetrate perimeter, is another reason why Allah is telling you and telling us, not let you, not let one person, but let there come out of this world a band of people who love what is good by Allah, by the Creator's definition, and dislike what is wrong. So when we leave this world and start the world of true, pure love, for the love of Allah only, then we will get the love that we need to overcome this need to try to find love. We won't have to search for love, but we won't be blind to love. We won't be blind to our true emotion, our true intellect. We will seek to love and love God and God alone. So we pray that this message of concern will break this cycle of going from today back to the past. Today, back to the past. We need love tomorrow, what it's going to do for our children. We love to have the good food again for our children. We need to love, have home, shelter for our children and all children of the world, because that love and loving for tomorrow only comes from Allah. The love that's in the past is gone, and it doesn't give a good picture. We see it has been contaminated. It has been perverted. And we have to remember that must be coming from the shaitan, the enemy of the human family. So love is what we need, but what love is what we need to remember. It comes from what's in front of us. That's Almighty God Allah, not what's behind. I know it might seem like a tough thing to do, but it ain't that tough if Allah said, let there come out of the past. And though you get into the future and invite all to what is good and forbid the past to come in, because the past is contaminated. It only shows you the hell that showing you hell what Satan has been running us through. And we look for little excuses like, well, this good here was done here by that person. That's not what we want. We want unconditional love from the Creator so that we can share that unconditional love with each other. To the earth, to the animals, to the water, to the air. We love Allah's creation like he loves us. pray, O Lord, that he will continue to let us see how much he loves us, how his mercy is always coming down, how his blessings are always coming down, how he is always, like you said, his help is always here to help us turn away from the whispers of hate, jealousy, envy, perversion, etc. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon us all. And we do like Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, love for your brothers and sisters what you love for yourself, the way that your Creator loves you. In closing, what is the thing we always say, one of our children also will be taught is a prayer. Love the older people like they loved you when you were young. It's an obligation on the people of the future, the people of tomorrow, which is our children. The people of the past are the reminders of the hell that they went through. Makes us strong to face tomorrow and build this model, example of true love that only are the creators to give to share with each other. Back to you, Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, hey, Islam, I hope you don't hang around. We have others like to share some information with you. Brother Suja Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum
assalam.
Well, you got it, my good brother.
Well, alhamdulillah.
How you doing? You doing okay?
I'm doing just right. And all right, bro. I owe Dubrahim and the Shaitan Rajim. With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. I testify and bear witness that there is only one creator, one God. And I testify and bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the prophet, messenger of Allah. He's God's servant. I'd like to give all the believers the greeting of peace. Wa assalamu alaikum.
Well, look at the man.
You know, I recall, since y'all talking about love, I was just thinking, I always try to think of what the imam say, some of the things where I can put it in. And one of the things that he said about love, he said that true love is when you got strength enough to speak the truth. Even though it might hurt some feeling. He said, that's true love. When you got strength enough to speak the truth, even though it might be against a person. See, that's true love. And I can see that kind of love. That's the type of love that you give your family. That's the type of love you give your children. You know. You say some things that that might cut them, but it's like the old folks say, just stick around, you know. And that's, I think that we got to have the strength. We got to have the strength to stand up with truth. Because when truth come out, you know, it's like a two-edged sword. Says cut back and forth. That's what truth does. So we realize that some of the truth that we bring forward is going to hurt. But that's when we got to brace ourselves and look at it and think about the truth that was said. And be man or woman strong enough to bear witness that that's the truth. You know, but now if it was a lie, then that right there is always reflect back to that person that lied, that doing the lie, is always come back on them. The liar. You can't expect the same benefit of the same influence that truth had when you speak a lie. You can't. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You know, and when a person speaks the truth, they shouldn't be dumbed down, coward. That's a more truth don't coward a person that spoke the truth. More truth is just confirmed what that person said. That's the reason we should always strive to speak the truth. And I bear witness to what Imam Wahdi Muhammad said when he made that statement. The true love is when you got strength enough to speak the truth. You know. So that's true love. We are in a time of deception. I heard the Imam use that word yesterday. I was listening to one of his talks using that word deception. You know. And using deception is talking about deceiving. Deception is speaking of also of deceiving. And deceiving, what that means is doing something to blur up the truth where the person can't see what's really going on. And they get influenced by the lie. They get influenced by the lie. And that's one of the things that Shaitan is using when he teach that God had a son. He's using deception. When he said that Jesus died for his sin, died for your sin, and then turn around and say that he gave his life because he gave his life first of all, he said Jesus died for your sin, and he said that Jesus is God, and when you charge him with, how could God commit suicide? And then he turn around and make the statement. This is some of the statement they make, the Christian make. He gave his life for the sinners because of his love for them. He's showing how much he loves them. This is the justification that they give when you question them in a way where you say, well, that looks like suicide to me. How could God come and commit suicide? And they want to show you, they want to change that suicide idea to love. He loved it. The sinners, he came to the world. He loved the sinners so much that he gave his own life. This is deception. And that's what we're living in today. We live in a world of deception. Don't let them deceive you, brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived. Satan gonna get what is due to him. Satan is not gonna get away with that. That's not love. That's Satan trying to deal with your emotion. You know, we are very emotional. We're very emotional. And we have a good speaker would play on your emotion. But remember what I say. When you told a lie, and all the bags that lie up, you got to use another lie. But truth can be proved. You can't prove a lie. You got to use another lie. And so what they use is deception. So this is what we're dealing with today, brothers and sisters. You got to be strong. Can't be weak. You got to be strong. And believe in what was taught to you. Believe in the Quran. Believe in the teaching of Imam Wahidi Muhammad. And some of those believers that in the community of Imam Wahidi Muhammad taught you the truth also. Think about the honor of Elijah Muhammad. We don't forget his history, brothers and sisters. Don't just elaborate on somebody else's history, which we know that Prophet Muhammad got a good history. But don't just elaborate and just see that only. You got to pass our history on to our children also. That's one of the ways that they try to deceive you. By using the Middle Eastern brothers' history. But they put the Prophet Muhammad in there. If they put him in there, you have to accept it because you don't want to be thought of as a person that is arrogant, showing any type of distrust for the prophet. They slick, brothers and sisters. They use deception. We love the prophet just as much as they love the prophet. But we love our history also, brothers and sisters. That's important. We got a history go back beyond 1930. We got a story to tell. And they don't want to tell our history. Allah didn't take it, let us go through this suffering, through this fire for nothing, brothers and sisters. So alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, we just have to stay strong and bear witness to the truth, love the truth, alhamdulillah. And we want for our brother what we want for ourselves. I'm going to continue this. I'm supposed to be teaching Friday. This coming Friday, my son asked me to teach that him and the family, what we're getting together, this coming Friday. I told him, yeah, I'm going to teach. So I'm going to try to continue with this concept that I'm presenting tonight. Praise be Allah. We thank Allah for this opportunity. We pray that Allah bless all of us. We came to you in peace. We're going to leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salam. Well, thank you, Josh. You can teach that anywhere. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Beautiful teach. Okay, everybody, Brother Amin. Brother Muhammad, you can, Muhammad, you can teach what you said anywhere, too. That can be welcome anywhere. You got it, Brother Amin. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, no. Yeah, walaikum as-salam. Alhamdulillah, dear believers. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Ilaheem, Maliki, Omidi. Yeah, alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters. As-salamu alaykum. I wanted to just get a little experience, a little exchange here, a little back and forth, because we're dealing with kind of like a masjid. Problem here that Imam Muhammad told us. I think he told us to make sure that the masjids are secure and we have the, we know who the masjid name is in and who's on the deed, because we had a situation out here in California. In Compton, California, here where Nuri, all these brothers are gone, but all these people are gone. Nuri, Majun, Malik, and another brother, what they did, they got together, and what they did, they sold the Compton Masjid. And they split the money up. So we're going through a little struggle here just to make sure that we our 501c3 is in order, and
right.
We have all the legal players that the state of California want us to have on the what you call the statement of information, and I just wanted to kind of like ask some questions about because I know I had been hearing about some of the immigrant brothers. They come to the masjid where we are, and next thing they know, they run in the masjid or they own the masjid. And
that's right.
I was wondering if y'all got a little insight into that. I'm willing to listen. Because this is what me and another one of the brothers that are faced with, where we have a situation where one of the brothers who's supposed to be on the board, and he said, all I do is clean up the masjid, and I don't want to know nothing. I don't know nothing, Well, our position is, well, you got to resign because you ain't in a position to guard the believers' assets and their interests and look out for the believers.
You
don't care, whatever, And so I had heard that how did the immigrants do that? You know, how did they do that? If any of y'all got any,
I think Akbar can tell you a little bit because he's going through that right now, let's talk on that.
Okay,
you know.
Let me talk on that. Right. If these new people have come in and turned things around, then you gonna have to get you a lawyer. You got but that's forgery. If the mafia belongs to the community, they cannot take it. But if they don't mess around and got the deed in their name, that's something we got going for us in LaGrange, Georgia. Their deed is still in our name, and they can't take it out. They can't get it out. They came up with a board, like you said. They come up with a sewer board, and they get so many people they know, friends, to vote. But what make it illegal, it's not the people that started off, and it's not the majority of the people that who started off, and then we had our own 501c3. They ignored our 501c3, and that's what made it even more legit.
Well, they joined on to it.
Yeah, so they came up with a 501c3. They joined on to the 501c3, and they talking about they got the vote. And I told the brother, we're going to throw them out of there. But we had to, they wanted to do it the civilized way. And so we've been waiting 3 years now, going on 4, to get our center back.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia, he was there. He was there. So that's what they do. You got brothers that look like you come in there to do the same thing, that's going on all over, too. That's going on all, too. And you think
so
that's
you,
it? Uh-huh.
So let me ask you, how much property is involved? Are there acres or what is involved?
In our situation, acre, better.
Acre land, okay.
Prime land.
Brother, I mean,
yep.
And I think my wife, she want to say something too, but I just want to say this.
I'd like to say something too about that at LaGrange.
I know that this is a problem. It's not so much that we stand up against it, but it's the believers inside of the masjid. They withdraw, and you standing up there, you fighting it, but you ain't gonna get no support from them.
Person standing up there with them talking
to. So what happened eventually? Now they don't had over 40 some masjids, Imam Waqi Muhammad masjid taken. Because you got
right?
you got inside infiltration, and that's one of the problems, inside infiltration, infiltrators, where they don't come forward, and it's right up they be running the masjid. So they hold it and run it long enough. Some of the believers just give up. Let them have it. So I think it had to be coming together, a unity effort of believers coming together and do what is necessary to do. They got to do that. If you don't get them brothers there in California that gonna stand up, and sisters going to stand up and tell them what you want to tell them.
Right.
You know, and make a big thing out of it. They're gonna take that message.
Yeah. Yeah, it.
Yes, sir. I think my wife. She wanted to say something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Pastor. Just right here. As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah.
What I want to say is that you have to look at the, you know, by law, that if that's a non-profit organization, ain't no one person own the masjid. They can't, and then you got to see who signed it. More than one person have to sign it. But what I'm going to say is that I told them to look at the deed. Because the masjid don't belong to one person, so that's the main thing you have to do. And what they get them through, I forgot how they do it, but I'm gonna call my brother again because he said that it's some kind of way they do it through the insurance, and that's how they get the masjid is through the insurance, and then when they owe money or something like that. But I forgot.
Owe money to who?
Owe money when they owe money to the immigrants. They borrow money from them. That's what they do. When they borrow that money from them, and then they don't pay it back, and that's the one way how they get the masjid. But the masjid, as you mentioned, you talk about the masjid. I think you talk about all that is very. I talked to your brother Hoptic. I already told him how to do it. Anyway, the masjid was transferred illegal, so you have the right to get it back.
Well, out here they so doggone secretive and not transparent. And the brother who runs the prayer, I commend you for getting up and running the prayer every morning. But I don't know nothing. You ask him, don't ask me that type of thing about this and that and that and this. And so I had to ask a brother, one of the brothers, who's serving as the imam. And he told me all the brothers who was on the board. So I came back to the prayer. And I said, brother, you on the board and, you hiding it. What's all this secrecy in?
I'm telling you, up the deed. It, no person owned that transaction was done. I remember that transaction was done illegal. And I told him anytime something is done illegal, anytime real estate is done illegal, you have the right to get it back. It's not valid. And that's how they're getting it. They get it, and it's illegal. So you could get it back. You just got to know how to do it. Pull up the deed. Because ain't no one person to sign that deed. That was back there. That's 10 years ago. You still could get it, though.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, when them brothers got together out of Compton, that's been a while back. But, them brothers did that, and they was just walking around in the community like ain't nothing happened. Sit the money up. And spent the money up, sold the masjid out from under the believers, and spent the money up, and we walking around there talking about, as-salamu alaykum.
I live out there.
Hanging around them, they be around them.
I live down there. I know the teachers. They had the teachers down there, like the Muslims. We don't attack each other. We don't do this to each other. During that time, like, it was so popular. That's why during that time, there was feeding off the believers because they know the believers wouldn't fight back or do this and do that, cause no disturbance. And so that's what that is. That's that mentality that they had was teaching down there during that time. And so all you have to do is start with the deeds and see who have that deed, because who ain't no one person could sign that deed, that masjid over and do that transaction. Once you sign that everything that the deed is all right, then if you see a flaw in the deed, then you got it right there. Check with the deeds first to see how it was done. Those deeds go back and tell you. And they did, and they do it through the insurance. Some kind of way, I forgot how the, what the brother told me, but it's some kind of way they do it through the insurance. And they borrow money. They borrow money from them off of the mass jet too, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their trick. So, but that one thing you got to remember, you can't do nothing. You can't accomplish nothing wrong in Allah's name. So it's not going to work. And they did it illegal. Anytime you've done something illegal in real estate, I don't care how long it is, I know this lady for 40 years, the true story, right there in Los Angeles. They took their land right here in Texas, the Caucasian did, you know, and she went back there and had her deed, her daddy's deed and everything, and she got her, she couldn't get the land because the capital was on there, right there in Texas, Houston, Texas, but they gave her $3 million for that property. But you, anytime something's done illegal in real estate, you got the right to get it back. I'm telling you, and start off with the deed. Ain't no one person could sign over a masjid to nobody.
Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalam.
Could I say something? Say something when everybody's done. I'd like to say something.
I'm finished. Diane.
Oh, okay. Okay, then. I just wanted to say, it's in a situation like that now in LaGrange, because he and the brother imam that was in LaGrange at the time was the imam there, has passed. It's been like almost 3 years now. And Akbar's name and that brother imam's name was on the deed. The other two were on the deed. But now it's just Akbar's name on the deed. And we found out these brothers came in because they were new in the community and they didn't have a worshiping place of their own. So they wanted to unite with, Ibrahim Baha Center there in LaGrange, the center, and just to worship with the LaGrange community, which was a small community. And that's how they started off, being wanting to unite with the community, you know, and share in community with the worship and all that. Then they end up doing little things, little cosmetics at the mass, at the center. We're not being asked. These are volunteer, like Saraka. Things they were doing for the center. Nobody borrowed any money from them. Nobody asked them to do any cosmetics there or fix up anything there. They did it on their own. But then when the deal came down, when the imam had passed, and they found out that Akbar was the only one, because Akbar was going up there and they were having a certain amount of Fridays to do the Juma. Imam would do the Juma a certain amount of Fridays in the month, and Akbar would do the Juma the other couple of Fridays in the month. And that's how they did that. But now, when Imam passed, one of the doctors there, who was also the Imam's doctor, and his wife's doctor as well, he felt that he had Imam's place, which he was not. And then when we wanted to have a meeting, they would always say that they're bored. Now, we don't know how they formed their board, because it was a 501c3 already, you know. And I went with Brother Imam and Akbar to get the sister to draw up the 501c3 and carried it out. And it was legal 501c3, you know, for the properties that they had, that they paid for, that Akbar and Imam paid for. So at the courthouse down there, the people knew Akbar and Imam. You know, when they first put their names on the deeds, when they were the ones who were eligible to be the ones on the deed. So the immigrant Muslims just felt like they could do a little handiwork and go there and try to change different stuff on the deed and messed up trying to take out clauses and phrases and all and replace it with what they wanted it to be. But it didn't work because the lady that took care of that from the beginning, she knew that Akbar had not come up and changed anything since Imam had passed. So he had not changed it over to them at all, which they tried to indicate on the paper that Akbar had turned it over to them, which was not true, and they could not prove it. So they changed mail. They wouldn't give Akbar the mail that was due for the center before they came in, or that was not theirs, period, while they were in there. You know, but like I said, they called themselves taking charge because the imam had passed and the doctor there was the imam's doctor. And he felt he would be able to run everything, you know, and he couldn't do it. So we had to get a lawyer. And the lawyer that we got.
Let me ask you this. What right did they have not to give Akbar the mail? I mean, what?
That's right. We
right did
yes,
they tell you.
We tackled that too. They went to we went to the post office and filed charges about that too. So that's been took care of as well. So that's no longer in effect. But the thing about it is, they're bogarting. You know, I guess they are trying to see if we could weigh it out and not do anything else, because they even prevented us from having a fair any kind of functions there. We couldn't even. They were not having Talim on Sundays, but we were. You know, the original community that was there before they came.
So let me ask you. Mm-hmm. Okay, these were Arabs, the Pakistanis?
Yes. They were Pakistanis, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Pakistanis.
I see.
So anyway, the lawyer that we got also knew the lawyer that they had. And it seems like now it's been in court for so long, and this virus up a lot of stuff, and now they've just been waiting for the proper court date. And it would have been settled at first if it had been just domestic.
They
put it in the big court. Because they found out they had been fumbling with the mail and fumbling with the changing of the wording and everything on deed and all that.
Okay. Let me ask you, sister. Let me ask you. I mean, did they loan y'all some money or something, and y'all couldn't pay it?
No, they did not.
What?
But they tried to claim that what they had done, as far as the cosmetics, that the master or the center owed them that money. But then they couldn't get that either. And that was illegal as well, because nobody asked them. They had no papers to prove that they had the center Akbar Imam had signed anything for them to loan them any money, period.
Yeah, Imam.
But Imam was the one who carried the
Brother Muhammad from Columbus. He asked them to show up the receipts and the bills.
And they had no receipts. Yeah, Brother Muhammad was coming up and doing the meetings at different times too. And seeing, and Imam Furqan was too. So we're still in court now, and it seems like we were told just not to worry about it, you know, by an attorney, that everything would be okay because they have no win. It's just that the holdups are sitting in cases and sitting cases back and all that.
So how long have you been in court?
It's been in court for 3 years.
3 years, their case is that they did some cosmetics on. I mean, is that the only issue? I mean, that they
that's
did some cosmetics issue. On the masjid,
that's the only
and
issue.
y'all owe them. Yeah, is that the only issue they got? I mean, is
that's
that the only
thing issue? Yes, that's the only issue. They did cosmetic and started on the brother's voodoo station and the sister's voodoo station, who they never finished, you know, that. So they just started on this stuff without, especially during the time Imam was sick. And then when they found out Akbar lived down here in Atlanta, and they were all up there in the Grange. The little doctor, he accused Akbar of coming up there trying to take control of things, and he didn't even live up there. He wasn't even up there, so they had to have proof from Imam's family and his son and his nephew, who had always been there. And,
yeah, okay.
And no.
Okay. Well, look, I have to go now. I got an appointment. But this has been a good teaching for me, and I'll be able to pass it on. And thank y'all very much. And
okay.
You know, me and Evan out here, we got a little struggle, but inshallah, Allah's with us because I think
inshallah.
Allah
is
yeah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Make
do what
Brother Muhammad for Columbus, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Sir, let's hear what you got to say now.
Well, again, it's always the same thing. When you don't have faith in what guides you, naturally it interferes and what you believe you can do and what you can't do. And then that type of belief is always vulnerable to someone who has faith in their scheme, especially if it's coming straight from the shaitan or from a group of people who's under the influence of shaitan. They have faith that your lack of faith in what is guiding you, there's the stronger. And they will come in, like Allah tells us about shaitan, he's not going to give up. He's going to test your faith. So when we lose our faith in things, that's why we have those kind of problems that we have had in the history and we still have now, and we're going to continue to have them. Because we don't have faith enough to see that Allah is really with the believers. And if you have that type of faith, you will not let anything interfere with your unity. Unity is the problem with everything that we're having here in the United States of America, because we're unifying with so many different things, weakening our faith. We have faith in sometimes our wives, sometimes our husbands, sometimes our car, our job, and a lot of those things we are not even paying attention to them. But the people under the faith of Shaitan, they see that. They look for that. They pray on it, and they call us to continue to have fear of our lack of faith that we know we have. Because if Allah has told us all these 1,440-something years going on, and then since the creation of Adam, we don't want to hear and obey what he say do and how he do it, because we let our relationship with our creative brothers, the human beings, have more humane influence on us than our intelligence. And Shaitan takes advantage of that. And if you look back and sit down and be honest with Allah and yourself, you'll see that everything that all of us are suffering from on a daily basis is because of our lack of faith in doing what Allah said do because of this world. There's a reason why Allah said, let them get out of here. Get out of this dunya. Leave this dunya alone. There's a reason why Allah has been warning us in our time of 122 years, like you hear me say a couple of times. Anybody over 122 don't exist in our reality. And anybody who's not born yet doesn't exist in our reality until Allah blessed them here with a safe birth in this world. Then they become part of our reality. And in this reality that we have, until we have faith to understand that our disunity, you know, of not following what is halal and establishing it in our intellect, our emotions, our earth, our property that we own, our money that we own, or whatever we own, and then spend it in the way that Allah said. There's a reason why Allah said feasibility law. We don't have enough faith in that. We don't believe in it. A lot of them don't even understand that. That we have to take everything, and first of all, our life, and give it back to Allah. We say it all the time by hearing and obeying what he say do, especially in the Quran. Just this is a final opportunity to save our own souls and our children and anybody else who will be here until Allah brings this thing to a conclusion and we have the day of Kiyama. Until then, we are to work. Work, work, work in establishing this halal reality here in the United States of America, and it will spread abroad. But don't think for one second that all these people for thousands of years and now in our reality here, they are corrupt. They're not going to stop. There's no logic, no rationale you can give them. They have their faith that God has done. They have their faith that Buddha is their God. They have their faith of whatever it is, that drugs is their life. And they're willing to give their life for it. Until those who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, do the same thing, they can continue to keep us off balance, kill us, come in and bully us out of what we got, because we don't want to fight with the Quran. Not with our physical being. We only can do that in a defensive mode. But we can attack with the Quran because we're throwing bricks, remember, at that falsehood. We can use the Quran. And if there's any kind of response back from, which we know Shaitan will give a response, he's going to try to marshal his imps to come against us. Now, we're in an environment called the United States of America where the law is on the side of the believers.
That's right.
But if we don't have faith that it is because of us listening to our bad parenting over us and our bad parenting over them, and our bad parents, you know, but we don't have that now. Allah has sent us one from amongst us to come and teach us unity. We have been rejecting it from day one. You know, we have been rejecting it from day one. And then we have the rejectors, like the other Muslims in this country and the other religious faith and the other way of life in here, are eating us down to the bone if they can get away with it. So now legally, see, everybody that missed the whole point, although right now it's questionable because it suffered the same thing. A lot of people don't know that Imam Muhammad, by Allah's permission, establishing mosque cares to solve the problem that y'all been hearing about for the last 20 years. No one to represent you in the time of trouble. From the country, from human beings, from business people, from thieves, from murderers, from homosexuality, from drugs. We have nothing to defend. Mosque cares, Imam Muhammad said, every one of you masjids who follow my leadership, you draw up your rented place, the building that you own or whatever, put it in the name of Allah on it, Muhammad Rasulullah on it, and say that you are a member of mosque cares and Imam, the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And he said, and we pooled our resources, and then he said, Allah is so merciful to us. This time around, he has given us CPC. And out of CPC, every distributor who owns and operates a distributorship will have to give 5% to mosque cares so that mosque cares can deal with any kind of legal property that the masjids who have sent their permission and have signed the agreement that mosque has the power of attorney to protect their property and whatever. We rejected it. We rejected it. So what we're saying, that's why we have to understand about tomorrow. Get out of this damn past for a minute. You ain't got to leave it alone. We can continue to develop and preserve our history. But the best preserve for history is you working on tomorrow.
That's America.
And we won't do that. You know? And so all the legal problems that Amin is talking about, all the legal problems you're talking about, and then I would tell you another thing. This money, this concept of money, as you can see, has been the tool that has used and been used over and over again to steal everything from us. The bread from the crumbs from the table. We're trying to chase these crumbs from the table, and that's why we are so individually selfish with it, because we don't want to share a crumb See, but when you got the whole cake and the table and ice cream on the side, you don't mind sharing with everybody because you have become a party of the law.
No way, bro.
You have become and gone to a party of the believers. But when you just chasing crumbs, you're not going to share because of how much you say out your mouth. You ain't going to share because you are under the influence of self-preservation.
Okay.
Look how we are in 2022 with all this money that the African-American descendants of slaves in America, all the money we got, we still tell people how broke we are. I ain't got nothing. We got to stop all that self-pity and get up and go to work.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, then, Brother Muhammad. Brother Sujar, you got something you want to say to that?
Yes, sir. And praise be to Allah. And we really appreciate Muhammad. Alhamdulillah,
yes, sir,
the words you said. I think that this talk that we had is a blessing and is a reason, and we got to put forth a verb now. You know what a verb is. If you don't, your wife know what a verb is. And you got to put forth a verb in reference to that in LaGrange. I think you need to get together five brothers and eight sisters. Get together five brothers and eight sisters. And what you do, take the lock off the front and the back door and put some new lock on there. And when they come there to get in, they ain't going to be able to get in. And if they break in, then you got your lawyers, you got the police officer, the lady downtown, they know that the deed is in your name. You got everything to back you up. But right now, you need to show some action. That's the verb.
I agree.
You know, that's it, brother. And be ready to stand up in one of them face and tell them, say, look here, you know, we try to go along with you. We try to put up with you thinking that we going to come together, but it don't look like it.
Right, brother. I think
that's the move
to
me.
When
you know,
when I seen you,
five
strong
brothers.
I stood up and then threw the doctor and threw his buddy out. One or two of them. I've been throwing.
I know. You take care of it. I know you ain't. You ain't no.
They stopped me. It would have been all over. They stopped me because I know they didn't have no power. We're going to be a mess. We're going to win because we the only one standing on the truth. Falsehood wasn't going to win that day.
Yeah, they won't even let us come in there for Juma. Let's be in there with him.
So when you change those locks, because you don't want no, see right now, you know, nobody don't want no confrontation. But when you change those locks, on both of them doors, and they come in and try to get in, and find out you can't get in, they going to break them. And that's illegal.
But they got somebody sleeping in there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
somebody sleeping in there. If he came out and walked out on us, and we had Charlene, and we didn't even know about to stay back then. He walked out on us. We were trying to book away directions
Well, but see, that's when you got those five brothers, you know, when you putting the lock on, you make sure ain't nobody in there. If there is, mm-hmm. if people's in there, they gonna have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even know how to should be in there when you do that, you know, because they can, like Sister Daya said, open the door, you know, but make sure ain't nobody in there, putting them locks on there. And they and just as I say, they gonna try to break in there. And if they do, call the police. And you all already know the police is behind you.
And it got your, you got your legal. You ready? People gonna back you up. You all up. Your lawyer gonna back you up. Everybody gonna back you up. You making him fight because he ain't fighting.
Let me say this right quick, then, so that we can do like what we've been. All that's already been done, Akbar. I mean, Suja. We've already done all that. Already suggested all that, but we haven't done it because, again, the faith. We don't have the faith.
When did you do that?
We brought that done. We supposed to be done.
No, I ain't
going to
let you do that, Muhammad.
Let me finish.
If you hadn't taken the lock off of there, and put new locks on there, and they took it off, and they called the police. If that hadn't been done, don't say it's been done.
No. When I said been done, I said what you said. First, you made a suggestion. I'm saying the suggestion that you made about going and doing the locks and everything like that. We already have put that in motion about 8 or 9 months ago.
Yeah.
What I mean by that, we suggested
that.
Did you do it? No. Look, again, let me put it again. The people in charge of which is Akbar, and
okay,
those,
man,
we
man,
have
man,
not
you
done
can't
it.
That yeah. Am, yeah. Don't let nothing like
you
that happen.
Yeah. So I'm just letting you know. I'm letting you know because the more we understand.
If we had to deal it first, we throw it in court, and the court is going to have to tell the thing now.
But again, let's just keep this on the message of concern because, see, the people outside of the queue, and especially even if there is some people of other faith, if you are listening, this is what we mean by the message of concern. Because the same thing that's been happening to you in your world for thousands of years, and now it is getting into the world, for lack of a better word, of the righteous. And we have let the, like Allah tells us in the Quran, don't let the adversity make you cow down. Muslims in America are letting, because we have disunity amongst ourselves, is the reason why those who have been suffering what we are now experiencing all over the United States, our mass years, I've been saying, when we hear that kind of, everybody think that it's going to be with some kind of physical. No, it's going to be with your own face. It's going to be used against you.
Salaam alaikum. Right. Can I tell you something? Salaam alaikum. I'm going to tell you a true story, okay? And I know it works. That's the same thing that tried to happen to me. I have some property over there, and the people, they got in the house and stayed in the house. And I called the police, and I told the police, and the police pulled me to the side. He said, "That's your property?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You told them people to get in?" I told him no. And he said, "I'm going to tell you what to do." He said, "You go break the lock. Make sure ain't nobody up in the house."
That's right.
"Make sure ain't nobody there. Break that lock. Take everything out that house that belongs to them." And I did. And I threw it all in the yard. Only thing I couldn't get out was the stove. Because I couldn't get the stove out. But it had the door. But I took all that stuff out that door. And then after that, I took a crowbar, broke that lock. And that's what I did. The only thing I didn't mess with the dog, because my sister told me people, they have a problem about their dog, you know. But
right.
They came and got their dog. I'm telling you, because that's your property. You don't let nobody take, if your name is on it, that is yours.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, and that's what I did.
And let me tell you another story.
As long as you let them stay up in there, the more that they got possession of it. Because you could stay in a
And let me tell you another story. The mass year in North Carolina. Some of the brothers in the mass year in North Carolina went and put all kind of stuff and took up half of the Masala area for school because they wanted to make some money. I came through town, me and my family, and the brother was telling me about it, so we went over to the mass year. We took everything out of the Masala area, put it in the room real neat in one of the conference rooms. The imam just happened to come in while we was doing it. And naturally, he went to raising hell and all that kind of stuff. So I called the police. Police came. Police said, "What's the problem?" I said, "Well, there really ain't no problem except that he's the religious leader here. But what he's doing, he's defying the place of worship where we pray at." We showed him where the Masala was and everything. We explained to him more, added to what he already knew about how Muslims pray. I said, this area right here is sacred. I said, and they are trying to turn it into a school for whatever reason. First, without a consensus from the community to do this, plus they're defining, you're denying people to be able to make prayer. The police officer told me, he said, you had to leave it like that, sir. Tell me, well, I'm the religious, I'm the imam here, I'm in charge. I understand all that right there. He said, but still, you don't have a right to deny the people who's using this for prayer. He said, now, if you want to use any other part of the building, that's something y'all can work out in court. He said, but that furniture is not going back in that prayer room. So the imam didn't have no choice but to leave. So I'm saying what Quran is saying is exactly right, and that goes for anything on any level that it happened at. If that building is sacred, it's your masjid, and you got it on your deed, you got it in your bylaws, you got it in your mission statement on it, that building will be used for the sole purpose of this and that, then nobody, by the laws of the United States government, can infringe upon that if you are willing to fight with your mind, with the law. See, the Quran is also the book of law. It teaches all the law that we need to stand behind, and if someone breaks that law, then we have the right to defend ourselves and defend that masjid. So again, like we always said, our worst enemy are ourselves, because we do not turn to Allah, only the guide us when we get knocked down, like Allah tells us in the Quran. Then we want to run and ask for help. As soon as I put them back in a nice masjid or a nice place or a nice home or whatever they love, you know, they go back and want to fornicate with that knowledge again of the people who are open enemies to them. Or they go to mess up with something that will cause them to lose, like because get down to, but Amin asked a question, and I just want to say that to that. It always starts in our situation. Everything that we ever lost in the United States of America, in the community of Imam Muhammad Muhammad, started with the imam. The imam making deals with his Kahoot buddies behind the scene, ignorant of the shura. And not letting the rest of the community know what's going on until after the fact. Even the manipulating and having somebody's name on the deed, you know, without the intentions being questioned and why, blah, blah. We don't know how to take care of business, but yet still we all want to be business. Business is like, wait. Allah gave it to Prophet Muhammad. He told him, Ikra. And that means in order for you to read something, it's got to be written down in the name of Allah.
Could I get through? I hadn't gotten through yet.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. I think that the verb, it's time to put forth the verb. And when you put forth the verb, you know, you just gonna have to back it up. You're gonna have to back it up, there's a part in the Quran when Allah said that, who told you not to fight? Who told you not to fight? You know, but just keep up your prayer and praise the God. You know, who told you not to fight? So what I'm saying is that you got the deed, you got the right, you know, you got to put forth the verb now. If you don't put forth the verb, they gonna put it forth. You know,
okay.
So it's on you.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, everybody. We got others on. Anybody else want to say anything in the last couple of minutes? We got Push One. We got any brother or sister want to say anything? The last few minutes, Push One, and come in. We'll see you on. And on your phone, Push One, turn your mic on, and we will cut the mic on for you. And anybody got anything else they want to say? We think.
But tell Amin that goes for him too. What two jobs and all of us was sharing with each other. That's what he need to do too. You know, draw the line in the sand and deal with the situation, you know, and Allah will send you some help. And you'll
right.
be surprised where the help might come from.
If I had five fearless brothers and sisters, I would go down there and take that lock off myself because I know that'll work. They don't own. The only person can control that building with locks on it is the one whose name in it. The lady told me. The lady down to the tax down to the land. He told me. He said they can go get a cheap lawyer, and said they can make like they gonna take the land. She said, but when they come to me, her name's Jack. She said when
they
come
to
me,
they ain't got nothing to stand on, Egba. You know that.
Jackie said she wants to lose her job about a liar. These people will lie. I will throw them out. They stopped me. So I didn't have no backup. Now I'm going to do it by myself.
And I think that goes also for the people outside this queue and who this message of concern is for. Because that belief that God had a son, you have to stand up like you hear us talking now. Your unity, your disunity is the one that's making you fall for this false worship, fall for the creating a racial environment on people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we pray also that you'll join with those who believe in what is justice, right, according to what God says, your creator says, what our creator says. It's the way we're going to get rid of all of this in the world.
I agree. I'm sure that the most of the people on here is like that. I know one personally down in Baton Rouge. I know he stand up. So I know that. I know you stand up. And I know Brother Amin was stand up. I know it. But Brother Muhammad Farid, but it stays so far in New York. They stand up. They always stand up. So I know who stand up, and I know who will fold. But I got people that can talk. I got a lot of people talk and throw out. But when it comes to standing up, I was on the job, and they come got me and went to the main office, and something was wrong, so I went myself. I mean, when I turn around, wasn't nobody standing there but me. And when I seen that, I told the supervisor to have a good day. We didn't want to wish you a good day and turn around and live. But I want to go. They put you out there, but they won't stand up with you. That's one thing about me. I would stand up at the state capitol, all police department. It doesn't matter with me. I stand when I'm right. I'm standing up.
That's why it was so important that we should have had the opportunity when we was going to have that barbecue and start barbecuing down at the masjid down there, you know, etc. Those things ain't gone away. We still need to put our foot on our land. You know,
You down there in Georgia.
And I'm up for all the time. Before you go off left field,
Can you be the one that brothers?
I'm up in the ground all the time.
Yeah,
be
one of the brothers.
This is not a meet. Did you hear him say that I and Imam Furkan has not missed any activities that we was invited to come down and help support.
Okay, so you're going to be one of the brothers go down there with me.
Yes, sir. I'm going to come down for the first time and be a door.
Okay. Egba, you hear that?
Yeah.
We know each other.
He stood up and he spoke intelligently. He asked all them mayors. He said, where's your receipt? He said, What do they owe you? Did you put it on paper?
I believe he'll stand up, but what I'm saying is for this next move, you got to have them brothers stand up there with you.
That's right.
And Allahu Akbar, it's going to work.
Right. I know Muhammad.
It don't work, but don't let nobody talk you out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sujah, what I'm trying to say, so if you listen for a minute, Sujah, when we done it the first time, I told Akbar, meet them up there.
Well, do it again.
I'm
going to do it again.
You asked the question, but you ain't listening. And we still on the air. We still on the message of concern. This is not the time to have these type of conversations.
Okay, unless you want to
do it in a
positive
way.
Okay, then.
Sister
Lala, you want to close out for us? Sister Lala. Is you on, Sister Lala? Looks like you're on.
That's 213.
Uh-huh. That's
not her.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm Diddy Lala. Well, we thank everybody for showing up tonight. We're going through, talking about some things that have affected us with our massive. We weren't trying to hide nothing, and we thank Allah for everybody showing up. So Sujah, will you close out for us?
We want to make prayer for mass kids too.
Yeah, make prayer for these mass kids too.
Alhamdulillah, with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. We thank Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. We pray and ask Allah to bless us with the strength to be successful in coming together and taking charge of that masjid. And we bear witness that there's only one God, and we believe in you, and we believe in your message. We ask you to bless us with success. Peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad forever. I mean.
I mean, we thank everyone for coming in, coming on tonight. We talk about the message concern. We talk about some things that concern us, like our place of worship. We know when you stand up and when you try to do right, everything comes at you and try to defeat whatever good you try to do. But we know also, like, after difficulty come relief. And we are looking for relief. Yeah, we want to make the right step, right charges, and then, so we're gonna talk to some people and see what they come in.
Allah
and help us out. So, we're all on the path of doing what we want to do, what's right, and that's what we're going to keep it. May Allah continue to bless us all until tomorrow. May everybody be safe and watch out for that virus. I greet you in love of Islam, alaikum.